Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Isn't that all of that I just said? Isn't that exactly what apprenticeship under Jesus looks like?
Yeah.
Right? When we start taking intentional steps, deliberate steps toward aligning our heart with God's heart. And that's what we're seeing in our student ministries, but it's also what we're seeing here at Hope City. And it's what this sermon series has been all about, is choosing to take that apprenticeship under Jesus, choosing to do what he does and say what he says. We've been in Matthew chapter 7 the last few weeks, and it's been so good. It's been so good to just kind of learn what it looks like to be an apprentice under Jesus, what it looks like to follow after him and to chase after his plan for our life. This week, we start in verse 12. We're going to be reading chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. So let's dive in. It starts with, "Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you." This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The law and the prophets. This is what is taught in the law and the prophets. That line is a reflection back to the fact that Jesus did not come to end the law, to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. What does that even mean? What that means is that Jesus didn't come onto earth and say, "Hey, Israelites, I know you've been following these rules. I know you've been listening to these laws, listening to these prophets. Forget all that because I'm here now." That's not what he did. Instead, he came on the scene and he said, "Yeah, all of that stuff is made possible through me. I'm going to make a way for that, for you to even be able to follow all of those laws and those prophets." Jesus came to say, "Let me teach you who God really is. Let me show you what copying him, trusting him, and patterning your life after him looks like. Let me show you what loving and obeying him is really like." It's almost like Jesus was saying, step one, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. The ESV version actually says it that way. It says, whatever you wish, everybody say wish. Culture today has convinced us that you only have to give respect, honor, and decency when you've first received it. I have to tell you something this morning. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said to us, as soon as you get honor, then you can give honor. As soon as you get respect, then you can give respect. That's not who Jesus was. And our society has tried real hard to convince us otherwise. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, whatever you wish they would have done to you, do that to them. However you wish they would have treated you, treat them that way. And I can hear us already. Did you see the way they treated me? Do you even know what they've done? I don't owe them anything. And I'm supposed to treat them how I wish they would have treated me? That's not fair. I was reading in John this week, and I came across a story, something that Jesus said, that made me think of this sermon series. And I told Pastor AV, I said, I'm going to use this. I'm going to read this to Hope City this week. I don't know how it's going to fit into the message, but I'm going to read it. And God's so good. He just wove it right in perfectly. But I want to read to you guys out of John chapter 21. And this is Jesus after he rose from the dead. He had already been crucified, rose. The disciples are reeling, right? They don't know what to think. And this is a conversation that happened between Jesus and the disciples. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following them. The one who had also leaned back against him during the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." First of all, I love that line, "What is that to you?" Woo! That'll preach, right? That'll preach. But what I want to zone in on today is "you follow me." Doesn't that just sum up our entire apprenticeship series in one line? You follow me. Here we are thinking, that's not fair. Did you see what they did to me? And it's almost like Jesus saw our whining and complaining before we ever even stepped foot onto this earth. And the very next sentence in that passage addresses it. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate." You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Only a few ever find it. Here we are. It's not fair. That's not right. And Jesus is like, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. And only a few ever find it. In Jesus' time, cities where there was a fortified city, they were surrounded by walls. That's what kept the people inside, what kept them safe. It was a form of keeping them safe from people who wanted to take their land. But there would be gates in order for you to get in and out. And some of the gates were wide. They were big so that all of the armies and like mass big things could get through. But then there were spots in the wall where there was a narrow gate. So when Jesus was talking to the people, they knew, right? Narrow gate and wide gate was common language to them. They completely understood what he was talking about. The narrow gate was wide enough for pedestrians, people walking to get through, maybe some animals, some smaller animals or a small cart could get through the narrow gate. But could you imagine if there is a whole bunch of people trying to get through that gate all at once, what that might feel like, look like? Some of you have to pick up your kids from elementary or preschool, so you don't have to imagine. You know what it's like to get through a narrow gate. You know what a bottleneck is like. A well-known theologian named N.T. Wright said it this way. He said, "Make sure you get through the gate. It's not very wide. Watch out for people who lead you off the road. Don't think that because you've been tagging along with the others that you'll get there in the end. These are sharp and worrying. We need to take them seriously." I want to read one sentence of that again. Don't think that because you've been tagging along with all the others, you'll get there in the end. How many of us are tagging along in our walk with Jesus, tagging along with all the others, going to church, doing the right things, maybe talking to Jesus every once in a while, tagging along in hopes that we get there in the end? Being an apprentice under Jesus, we are subscribing to a higher calling. A calling that doesn't compute in the eyes of society. A calling that doesn't always make sense to people. A calling that makes us sometimes want to yell, "That's not fair." And yet Jesus is there and he's saying, "Follow me." The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. But the narrow gate. That's the one that's tough. Doesn't that completely match up with what we've experienced? God calls us into a different lifestyle. He calls us into a better way. He calls us into his best plan for our life. And after we start on that journey, we realize, hold on just a minute. This is hard. Do you know what was easier? Back there. Back there was easier. I think I'm going to head back there. The way is easy that leads to destruction. If it's easy right now, I'd be on guard. Is the way you're living leading to destruction? A lot of people choose that way. A lot of people choose the way that's easy. A lot of people choose the way that leads to destruction. But the path that God is calling us to has a narrow gate. It's not easy. Point number two, our yes is not meant to be easy. This reminds me of a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read this together. Remember, a parable is a story that Jesus told. And it's a story that he was telling in order to make another point. So stick with us here. Jesus is making another point here. And we're going to talk about that point in Matthew chapter 22. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent out other servants to tell them, 'The feast has been prepared, the bulls and fattened cattle have been killed, everything is ready, come to the banquet.' But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. He said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now, go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see.' So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests." We're going to stop the story right there. Now, up till this point, we're good with this story. We know exactly the kind of people that they went out to get that second time around. We know exactly who's now being invited to the wedding, because these same people are the kind of people that Jesus hung out with. These same people are the kind of messy that you and I are. The kind of messy that you and I came from. Maybe even the kind of messy that you and I are still walking in. And we're good with it. We like to take this stance of like, that's right. God loves me exactly the way I am, and I don't need to change for nobody. The opposite's actually true. See, God loves you too much to let you stay the same. See, in all reality, not one of us actually believes that God wants everyone to stay the way they are. God loves the murderer. God loves the child molester. God loves the sex worker. God loves the manipulative mother who's emotionally wrecking her children. But he doesn't want them to stay there. That's just where he's willing to meet them. He's willing to meet them right at that spot and then call them forward. He's willing to meet you right where you're at and then call you forward. But it was never his intention that you meet up with Jesus and you stay right where you are. He loves you too much to call you to right where you're standing right now. The truth is that the gate is narrow for those that are going to say yes to that calling. Let's keep reading this story, verse 11. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. "Friend," he asked, "how is it that you're here without wedding clothes?" But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, "Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. That line sounds a whole lot like the line that we read in Matthew chapter 7, but the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. See, the truth that's sometimes hard for us to hear is that God is a perfect balance between love and justice. He isn't just a God of mercy and grace, but he's a God of holiness. And by refusing to get dressed for the party, by refusing to get ready for Jesus in the way that he's called us to get ready for him, the guest, we are saying that we don't want to be there and therefore cannot stay. The church, especially in the Western world, have shrunk down God to be all love and all grace. And while he is 100% love and 100% grace, he's also 100% holy and he's 100% just. That's why he gets the job of judging. And he will. Someday we are going to stand in front of Jesus. And he's going to say you have faith in me. Show me how. You say you gave me your whole life. Show me how. You said that you wanted to follow me and my best plan for your life. Show me how you did that. See, it's real easy for preachers to get up on the stage and say, God loves you right where you're at and your mess is great and we embrace you and we love you. That is true. But also, it would be awful of me to not get up here and tell you that there is going to be a day where you stand in front of the judge and he asks you, how did you walk with me? How was I the leader of your life? How did you have faith in me? And you're going to have to answer that. And that's why I'm just saying what Jesus said. The gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. That's why his word says, see, you know that something, that Jesus means something when he says it even more than once, right? That's why his word says, for many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation went out. He invited a lot of people that said no. He invited a lot of people that ignored that invitation and went about their business. Went back to their farms, went back to their business, went back to their homes. Maybe they even assaulted the very person who came and invited them. And while this is hard, I get that. This is a hard message. It's way, way easier to listen to the Kumbaya message. But I have good news. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. The reward for your yes is so good. The reward that is awaiting for you on the other side of that narrow gate is so good. We've talked a lot about this, but eternity is not a floating dream in the sky of someday. Eternity starts now. Eternity starts with your yes to all that God has for you. That means while you are still here on this earth, That means that while there is so much more to come, God wants you to take you to new levels of relationship with him right here and right now. He wants to reveal pieces of his best plan for your life right now. The party, the wedding party, starts right now. But you have to choose to get dressed for it. Because if you don't get dressed the right way, you're choosing to not stay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So, hear this. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen." Restore, support, strengthen, and place you on a firm foundation. Guys, the reward is so good. And what I don't want you to hear this morning is that the gate is too narrow for you to enter. What I want you to hear today is that he's calling you and that he loves you too much for you to stay right where you are. And the reward for going after that narrow gate is so good. The plans that he has for you are so good. And that it's easy to go back. We all get that it's easy to go back. But the word of God says, after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. I think there's probably a couple of groups of people in this room. Going back to the wedding parable, where there was an invitation set out, there's probably some people in this room who were in that first group of invitees that said, no thanks. That said, I don't want your invitation. Who ignored it, who went about their business, who said, I'm good. The life I'm living right now is perfect. I don't need your party. And maybe now you're questioning all of that. And you're like, well, maybe God, I do want all that you have for me. Maybe I am ready to chase after you. Maybe I do want that invitation. Good news is, the invitation's still open.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.